Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Today's guests are sisters-in-law, BYU women's cross-country and track runners, Lexi Goff Thompson and Carly Hansen Thompson. Lexi is married to Davin Thompson, and Carly is married to Creed Thompson, twin brothers who compete on the BYU men's distance team. Guys, I'm so excited to have you on here with me today. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having us. We're both so excited.
Yeah, so excited to be here. Thank you.
Yes, we had your husbands. Carly was not aware that her husband came on this podcast. A little offended. So you're going to have to go back and listen to that. But they were so much fun. And after we're like, we're going to get your wives on because we got to get their perspective and all this. You two have such a unique dynamic on the team. Both of you are women's distance runners and you're married to twin brothers who also compete on the distance team. And not only do you get to share that with your husbands, but also together as friends and sisters-in-laws on the team. So, Carly, what's it meant to have that built-in support system while competing?
I mean, I feel like the growth of myself as a person, just like through athletics and everything, has always stayed. Every year I learned something new. But I feel like this last year, and even like when Lexi and Davin were engaged, I just noticed how much of a growth of love I had for the sport and the people I was doing it with. Just because it means a little more when you're doing it with family, and it just like cuts a little deeper when they're, you know, having a hard time, or it's even more inspiring when they're doing well. And I don't know, I just feel like it means even more than it ever has before for me. So, yeah.
Lexi, what would you say is the best thing about having Carly on the team with you right now?
I mean, Carly is a joy to be with just in general, and not even just being her teammate and her sister-in-law. But I think she brings such a light and energy to the team. And we spend so much time together, all of the teammates. We spend so much time training every day. And so we automatically become kind of like sisters, but Carly and I always joke that it's fun that we get to continue being sisters even after college.
So true. Now that you guys are sisters-in-law, do you ever commiserate about what it's like being married to the Thompson brothers?
Oh yeah.
No, they're very wonderful boys. So
they are.
I think we're both very lucky.
Yeah.
You're right in the middle of cross-country season. Lexi, how do you balance being a competitive athlete with your husbands and focusing on your own careers while still supporting each other?
I think it's honestly the biggest blessing in my life, actually. I feel like it's so nice to have someone that has similar goals and similar lifestyles. And I think I'm more able to be committed to my goal and to help support him because we just understand each other at a different level.
Is running something that you guys talk about at home, like, all the time, or do you have to set boundaries? Like, all right, when we're practicing, we can talk about it. When we're home, it's something else.
No, I think we do. We talk about it, I guess, as anybody else would talk about their day. Like, hey, how was your workout? How's your practice? How's your training? And then we move on at some point, but it is a conversation, yes.
Because I would, like, how would you not talk about it, right? It's such a big part of both of your lives. Carly, what's your favorite part about doing the sport you love as a group of four? And I know it's like you mentioned, you're all sisters. And I'm sure they all feel like brothers on the men's side as well. But what makes it special to have you four doing this together?
I feel like the coolest part about it is seeing the, like, reflection of my life in another person's life. Like, I don't know how to even explain that. But there'll be times where, like, me and Creed will be, I don't know, discussing, it could be about running or just life in general, and seeing someone else share a very similar life kind of gives you both perspective and also makes you laugh a little because twins often have very similar mannerisms and everything, and I don't know, we joke all the time about, I don't know, things Creed does that Davin also does. It just makes me laugh. I love that dynamic, I feel like. And being on a team, too, it's even more special because, you know, you can take pictures with four people instead of two, which is great.
So true. Do workouts or race weekends ever turn into double dates? Have you guys ever done that?
I mean, we've never done, like, because our teams are pretty separate.
Yeah.
But, like, when we go on trips, like, we traveled to watch Creed. This was before they were married, but we were still, like, you know, they were dating Lexi and Davin, and we're going to go watch Creed at USA's for the Olympic trials, and I don't know, I just loved that dynamic.
It was
like,
such a fun trip.
It was so fun. We just, like, went on runs together. Like, it's just a built-in, like, team within itself. So yeah. It's so fun.
And you're like, and you can never get rid of me. Harry. Exactly. In our interview with Davin and Creed, they mentioned they love playing disc golf for fun, even though Ed Eyestone, I think, doesn't love that.
No,
I think they talked about that.
Not.
Do you guys play disc golf with them, or do you kind of let them have their bro time? Like, is that, do you guys join in to their disc golf?
I don't believe in bro time.
Carly is really good at disc golf, so she...
I enjoy it.
She does that with them. I've been trying to get into it a little bit more because they all love it, and I'm terrible at it, so...
She's not that terrible.
I'm just as happy watching them play, but I'll go if I'm invited.
Well, you'll catch up. You'll catch up soon enough. Carly, why do you hate bro time? Or not believe in bro time?
I don't hate it. I just don't believe in it because I like to consider myself a bro. And I'm a woman. So.
You're like, as long as I am a bro,
yeah,
then I like bro time.
We're good with bro time, but I like to be included in all the activities that the men do, and that's gotten me into some trouble. So
fun, yeah. Though. That's how I was as well. Lexi, what else do you all love to do together away from running?
Yeah, I think we all like to play board games a lot. Meet up at one of our apartments and play board games. And along with that, we also bond over food a lot. We love cooking, especially in the summertime when we have more time to cook. And over the summer, Creed and Davin were tending to a garden, so were able to harvest that food and incorporate it into our meals, so that's been fun.
That's amazing. So what's your favorite thing to cook?
I mean, this is going to sound so crazy elaborate, and I promise that this isn't what we're like on the day-to-day. I do not want to set the expectation at this level, but we would make this basil pesto pasta. I can't have normal pesto because I'm allergic to the pine nuts that are used. And so Davin made this rendition with just basil, and we grew the basil, and then we homemade the noodles, and then we like put the grown tomatoes in and put the chicken. So it was the best meal of my whole life, honestly.
Like, this was amazing.
Yeah.
We take pride in everything from scratch.
It sounds very healthy.
No, it's good, though. That's what people don't understand. I'm like, it's not for the health.
It's just actually delicious.
Yeah.
Carly, you and Creed started dating in high school. Is that right?
Yeah.
Then you went to North Carolina to compete at UNC. How did you manage to do long distance before you transferred back to BYU?
One might argue that I couldn't do long distance because that's why I'm here right now. But I mean, we supported each other over, we were dating for like 6 months in high school, so not super long. And I was leaving, and I mean, it was kind of up in the air of what our relationship was going to look like. I knew like it's difficult to do a long distance relationship, but Creed, before he left, was like, no, I want to commit to this. And I was like, okay, like, I don't, if you are ever like questioning, like, I understand that this is my decision, you know. So he supported me though. And for 2 years, I kind of balanced dating him / going to a university that I wasn't fully getting the potential I wanted out of myself, you know, which was difficult. And then it became extremely difficult when Creed's like, I want to support you, but you don't seem happy, so like, transfer now. I'm like, okay. So I mean, I do believe I was there for a reason, and I learned a lot there, and I love the girls that I went to school with there and ran with there. But after 2 years, I realized like my calling was to come back. And originally people were always like, oh, did you just transfer to get married? And I was like, no, but it was definitely an element and important to me that I continue a relationship with Creed. And yeah, but in the end,
Creed always hangs it over my head that it took me 2 years to transfer to win a national title. So, yeah,
full circle.
He takes the credit himself.
Yeah, like, he does.
You are welcome for that.
Yep.
What do you feel like, though, that season apart taught you about maybe your relationship and about yourself?
Yeah, oh, it's, I mean, it taught me, like, everything I know now. Just, like, being away from home. I lived in Utah my whole life. So leaving that, it grew my testimony more than anything. I just felt like you don't really know what you believe in until everything that you believe in is questioned and challenged. And I really felt that. Not that the world is all evil and everything outside of Utah, but you have to leave the bubble to, like, understand the bubble of Utah. You
know? So, absolutely.
So I left, and I just felt like it was, like, a little bit of me and my mission, I guess you could say, to, I guess, like, enter into a atmosphere that is not always the most positive and always, like, upholding my beliefs, but I stood up for, like, what I believed in. And the girls there supported me. They,
yeah,
if anything, they were inspired and always told me that they supported my decision to, you know, keep to my morals and everything. And the coolest part is, although challenging with Creed, our relationship definitely strengthened as far as, like, trust and, like, love and, like, small acts of kindness. Like, those are all things that, like, build up through a long-distance relationship because you don't have the other things like quality time, the physical aspect. So it's just, like, okay, do I actually love you? Kind of questioning all those things and challenging that and then realizing, like, no, this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. So that's kind of cool. Anyway.
And you really have to go out of your way to show that person, oh, yeah, right? When you're long distance, like you mentioned, that's difficult.
For sure.
You guys worked it out, though.
Oh, yeah.
And
it took a while. But
once you got to BYU and you became teammates with Lexi, were you the matchmaker who set them up?
It depends who you ask.
She likes to claim so.
I like to claim so because Davin reminds me, he's like, No, I always loved Lexi. I always was going to ask her out. And I'm like, yeah. Like, I know. They went out in high school. You might ask
her
that. But he definitely had a crush on her for sure for the last, like, up till then, like, 2 or 3 years. And I went on a run with Lexi, though. I like to claim it because I often peer pressure people into doing what I want them to do. So I went on a run with Lexi, and I just was talking to her kind of about Davin. It was like some other things. And I just felt like she had this passion of defense for him. And I was like, man, this girl is like the best. And I was like, I feel like I had some sort of responsibility in it because, yes, Davin was going to gain a wife out of this, but I was going to gain a sister. So that was more important. So I told him, I went home that day and I was like, Davin, I've been with you, bro, through all the things. And I've really tried to teach him how to flirt, how to talk to girls, like everything. And I was like, this is your chance right now. This girl is the girl for you. And I don't want to hear anything else. And he's like, okay, like, I was going to ask her out anyways. I'm like, yeah, we'll do it now because she's going to get swept up real fast.
So, oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So I kind of, more of a pressure to actually let him, to make him do it.
All right, Lexi.
But he did make the decision.
I got to hear it from your perspective. So one of the brothers talked about, because since you both knew each other in high school, was there like a Halloween party?
Yeah.
Okay, was that with you?
Yeah.
Okay, you and Davin. Okay, I want to hear just how you and Davin ended up making it work.
Yes. So one of my friends hosted a Halloween party, a random Halloween party at her house, and by some interaction between our two friend groups, they also were invited, which we didn't really know at the time that they were invited. But anyways, it was supposed to be an ugly costume party. And so they showed up and they weren't in costume. So I don't know who it was more awkward for, them or us. But that was technically the first time I ever met Davin, yeah.
Okay. So then you joined the BYU track team and you see him again. Like, how did it all come about? Like, did you ever expect, like, oh, that's my husband right there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you look at him that way, or did it come a little bit later?
Well, see, it's funny because I would always ask myself, I'm like, it would be so crazy if I've already met the person that I'm going to marry. Like, are they already in my life? And Davin is the most amazing teammate to everyone. So he's always so friendly to everyone. And he knows everybody by name. And he always says hi. And he always makes an effort. So for me, I was always like, yeah, he's such a great guy. Like, he's so nice. But I think what he thought was making an extra effort, I just perceived as him just being super nice and friendly. And I was like, yeah, he's like so nice to me, which is awesome. But I didn't think any more than that. Yeah.
Well, good thing he had Carly. It's like, but really? That is not enough. That is not enough. Okay. So for both of you, but we'll start with Carly. What is something marriage has taught you that you didn't expect?
I mean, it's taught me a lot of things, but I think the biggest thing I've had to take away from over the last year and a half is, and that it's taught me, is to kind of question your own perspective rather than questioning someone else's. And I know that sounds like a dream for everyone to achieve, but I really feel like every single time I'm in a conversation with someone where I'm like talking about something difficult or something maybe they don't really want to talk about or anything, really, I feel like I just get this reminder come into my head, like, what would Creed want? And that to me is like a voice of understanding other people and other people's perspectives, because Creed is a lot different than I am. And we joke, we say like Davin is me and our relationship with Creed, and Lexi is Creed in the relationship, because they tend to be, me and Davin tend to be more talkative, but it also shows like, no, people often are, you know, they two halves that make a whole, and I feel like Creed is my other half and really just like centers me and makes me understand everything and reminds me to just be a better person. And I try to take that like knowledge into everything else I do and really apply it to be like, oh, am I really seeing this in all sides? Am I doing, you know, questioning, maybe like, maybe I feel this way because of my own perspective and I need to widen that perspective to understand other people's thoughts and feelings. So, yeah.
That's, you've learned a lot in a year. That's, yeah, sometimes that painful. Takes a long time to learn. So I'm proud of you. That's amazing. Lexi, what would you say is something marriage has taught you that maybe you didn't know before?
Yeah, I think it sounds cliche, but I truly believe that life is better when you let other people into your life, and especially a husband, and especially in a marriage. I truly feel like I am a better version of myself now that I am married. And I feel like before then, I've always been pretty independent, and I've been fine doing things on my own, and I almost preferred doing things on my own, or at least I felt like some sort of validation from being able to like solve my own problems or like work my way up by myself. But I don't feel like that's the most fulfilling or joyful route for life. I feel like it's much better and easier when you have someone that's with you.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You're like, I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. I don't want to do it by myself. Carly, I know you both have separate training schedules in the men's team, but how often do you train with your husband, with Creed?
I mean, we don't necessarily run every day per se together. I wish we could, because I enjoy it, but they're substantially faster than us, so they probably shouldn't. But I mean, we're in and out of the training room all the time, and like always, I don't know, just like similar schedules, as in we go to bed at the same time, we like eat at the same time. So our lives are, although separate in some aspects, we very much follow the same timeline. We travel together, which that is so much fun. I thoroughly enjoy traveling with Creed, even though we don't room together, surprisingly. I mean, we're still separate, but like supporting each other at races and being there for one another is pretty cool. So
that's got to be kind of weird. You travel with your husband and then you're in seven, wake up in the morning, hey, he's on like the other side.
It's kind of weird sometimes, but
I bet. You're both, I mean, incredible athletes. You have to be competitive to make it this far in your athletic career. So with your husbands, who are also probably very competitive, do you guys ever kind of get to a point where you get annoyed with each other when it comes to competitiveness? You guys play board games, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Do you guys kind of get after each other, Lexi?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we're all competitive, so I think that definitely does clash. And for me, it comes about in that I feel like Davin's good at everything that he does, and he's, like, way better at me at everything he does, so that gets me frustrated, and then I get mad at him because I'm like, why are you so good at this?
Don't bring up sequence, though. We hold that over their heads, the game of sequence.
Oh, sequence.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will bring up sequence.
Sensitive topic for that.
One night, Carly and I just went... We were switching teams to see if it made any difference, and Carly and I just beat them like every time.
I love it. You'll always have sequence. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Lexi and Carly share how their college careers have evolved, what it's like to juggle goals, marriage, and team culture, and how they're both chasing new PRs in 2025. This is Royal Legacy. Want to know what drives BYU's greatest athletes? Deep Blue takes you beyond the stats and into the stories. Host Jason Shepherd sits down with Cougar legends and rising stars to uncover what makes them tick. New episodes every Tuesday. Subscribe to Deep Blue wherever you get your podcasts.
And now back to Royal Legacy and your host, Lauren McLean.
Welcome back to Royal Legacy. I'm Lauren McLean, here with sisters-in-law and BYU cross-country and track runners Lexi Goff-Thompson and Carly Hansen-Thompson. Lexi, you started out as a sprinter in high school, and you didn't begin running cross-country until your junior year at BYU. How did that transition happen?
Yeah, I primarily focused on the 400 in high school. I came from Lone Peak, so there was already a well-established dominant distance program there, and we had a good 400 group that we could also make some points in the sprinting side. So that's kind of what I focused on. I was thrown in the 800 occasionally, and then that's kind of what I was recruited on to come to BYU, and then focused on the 800 my first 2 years. And then last year, our team just needed to run a cross-country meet in the first couple weeks of the season to be eligible for the rest of the season. And so, as a joke, Coach Taylor just threw in the 800 squad to go to Idaho, and I just had nothing to lose, so I just ran like that. And then I came back to a text of her being like, yeah, so we're going to move you up in distance now. So it was fun. Yeah, last year was my first experience doing anything over the 800, and it was fun to just try something new.
How did you feel when you got that text? Were you a little bummed or were you excited?
No, I feel like I was excited. I've always been open to try new things, and so I think it was a fun opportunity for me.
Well, you're now one of BYU's top 10 runners heading into conference. What does that mean to you? You've only had really a year of doing this, right?
Yeah, it means a lot. I mean, it's such an honor to even be on the BYU women's team, period. And so I just feel very grateful that that's the position that I'm able to be in right now and that I'm able to contribute in that way.
Carly, what's it been like watching Lexi make that jump and grow into such a strong distance runner?
Yeah, I'm definitely biased because I want her to be distance, and I've always wanted her to be distance, but I feel like seeing her grow, particularly in track season, I mean, she had the opportunity to race, I think, up to conference last year, correct?
In what season?
In cross, sorry.
I raced pre-nats.
Yeah, pre-nationals. And that was awesome. Like, I feel like everyone during that period was like, oh, yeah, like, this is so amazing. Like, how could she even do this kind of thing? And then we entered into track where she primarily focused on the mile. And I feel like that's also the event I do, so I feel like traveling with her and rooming with her and everything, I really got to see the growth happen, not only just like in her, like physically, like being able to handle, you know, tougher and longer, well, maybe not tougher, but just longer distances. And I just feel like seeing that like opportunity for her to like step into a uncomfortable
position and also just like something new and maybe scary. And just seeing her embrace it really just like confirmed to me that this whole program and everything is meant to like make people just better people. And I just saw how her happiness, I mean, she was also dating Davin at the time, so that probably contributed to the level of happiness, but I just felt like she was like finding her place and purpose, and just seeing that really like confirmed like everything I needed to in this team, and just like just also like the sisterhood and like the support we have for one another, and that we will, even through hard times, we can like get through it together and find your reason why, you know, and sometimes that means moving up in a bit.
Lexi, did you ever look to Carly for advice, or even Davin or Creed, as you were transitioning into the longer distances?
For sure. I mean, I've looked up to Carly through high school. She's always been such a phenom. And so I think it's so valuable to be surrounded by so many people that are sharing this passion and who maybe know a little bit more about different events more than I do. And so I think I've reached out to all of them at time to time. Yeah.
Yeah. You got lots of resources yes. at your disposal. Carly, you finished your cross-country eligibility already. What does your training look like now as you gear up for track season?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of left last track season both in, like, excitement and inspiration, but also just with the realization that your future is at your disposal. Like, you can make do of any situation, and you can actually change that situation pretty rapidly. I feel like leaving indoor, I wouldn't even say I was not doing all the things, but my mental focus was not with many goals in mind. I went forward at each workout, at each race, with little aspiration to accomplish really anything. And that reflected in both my workouts, but also just as I stepped up to the line, I feel like I had no purpose, had no reason to try to win or to do, I don't know why, I just lost my competitive edge. Mm. And I hadn't felt that way in a long time. So I kind of left indoor, and I had a conversation with Coach Taylor. She had decided not to race me at on the leg of the DMR, despite having run it the year before and winning the title, which I, on one end, I feel like I am very team oriented, and I wanted to support all the girls that were there. And I went as an alternate and had the opportunity to even watch all of them, as well as Creed being all American and indoor. So on one side, I wanted to just embrace the attitude of gratitude. But on the other end, just like itching at the back of my mind was, you will never get this chance again. And although you can be grateful for the opportunity to go, everything in life is either given to you or you take it for yourself. And I just realized I wanted to have the attitude of taking it for myself. So after that day, I went up to Coach Taylor and I was like, look, I'm not actually mad at you, but I'm going to pretend to be mad at you so I could just light a like a match up my butt kind of thing. So I like left that day, and she's like, okay.
I hope you said those exact words to Coach Taylor.
I did, actually. It just like lit a fire within me, and I, for those next few weeks, I just killed myself in workouts. Like, I didn't even care the consequences. Coach Taylor would be like, you're running this pace. I'm like, actually, I'm running faster than that. And I just go with Riley and go with Lexi Halliday for those first few workouts, and I would blow up. I've never blown up more in a Michigan. That's a really hard workout we do. And I've never blown up that badly in my entire life. So that was definitely, but it just like drove something within me to, you know, like push past boundaries, push past what you think you can do. And it really taught me to like embrace the struggle and not even care for what other people think. And I never knew whatever happened to that Carly version of myself, but I needed to rediscover it. And I went into outdoor kind of with this attitude, just, I don't even care. I'm just going to destroy everyone. I want to, like, win. I want to win a race, which I know sounds stupid, but in college, you really have those opportunities. And you sometimes lose touch of that excitement to win a race. And I finally, for once, was like, why not me? Why can't I win? And I went into outdoor with that attitude, and it kind of just set me sailing for goals that I never even thought I could accomplish, like getting the school record and stuff. And And I went into NCAAs almost like, YOLO, like, let's just have fun with this. Like, I don't even care what happens. And which I do think was a good attitude up until that point. But then I was quickly humbled, realizing that, okay, standing on the national line with all these people who have internationals who have raced even at, like, Olympics and world teams, like, you need to have a sense of yes, like, just let loose, but also a sense of purpose and something you're trying to achieve, or you're just running to, like, run your legs off, which right. is exciting, and you can run fast doing that. But I really went into this year realizing that, you know, I have to make big, hairy goals. That's a saying that people have in the running world, where it has to be a goal. A big, hairy goal is one that you have to believe maybe isn't even possible, that it takes the impossible to accomplish to make it possible. So I kind of went into that this year being like, it's going to take an entire year of something insane and difficult and just unbelievable amount of training, dedication to accomplish this kind of goal. But I'm going to give it everything. And the start date is, you know, August 1st. And the end date is when we race at Nationals. So sorry, that's a long explanation, but it really is. Everything from last track season has built upon itself and translated it into this season. And I'm not competing, but I feel like I am, because I'm just riding that excitement from track all the way till next year. And I accept the challenge.
Let's talk about you breaking that record for a second. You broke the 1500 meter school record. After doing something like that, how do you stay hungry? How do you, like, you know, stay motivated? Because I'm sure that was a big goal, shattered, broken. That's like, okay, well, what's next?
Yeah, I mean, I probably lost sight a little bit of goals, because I was on top of the world at that moment, because I PR'd by like 4 seconds and I was just so excited. And although, like, that was, I feel like going into Nationals, it gave me confidence. I really do wish, and it's funny because after I had broken that school record, Coach celebrated, but she was also like, I'm not surprised. Like, this is the plan. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, like, I guess we're that good now that I just need to expect to run that time. And I think that took me by surprise. So I want to correct that going into this next year, that you can be, like, so excited to accomplish, like, crazy things. But that needs to almost be expectation, because all of this preparation is for that. And then you will carry that on. And I think Riley did a really good job of doing that, leaving NCAAs, which we were both disappointed in, not making the final, and then going into the off season with even more ambition and excitement, where she ran incredibly fast and shattered my time. So I'm like, I need to recommit. And I think at that point it was just a little too late. And I learned a lot from USAs, but I really want to go into the future with aspiration to accomplish those crazy, crazy goals. So yeah.
You expect to be great, right?
Yeah. But stay humble.
But stay humble at the same time. I know Ed Eyestone and Diljit Taylor are going to be keeping an eye on both of your future children, I'm sure. Do you think you both will encourage your kids to run in the future? Let's start with Lexi. Do you think that's something
you'll
do?
That's a conversation we've all definitely had with each other. And I personally, growing up, neither of my parents ran. I'm the oldest. So I was kind of the first person in my family or from my close circle that even took running on. And so I just loved it so much because it was my passion. And, I mean, we have teammates. I think a lot of people in the running world run because that's what their parents do and that's what they've done since they were five. So I think right now, at least without having kids yet, I think I'm just of the opinion that if they want to run, then that's great. But I'm not necessarily going to pressure them to choose one or the other. Yeah.
Makes sense. What about for you?
Karita said on multiple occasions, my kids are allowed to choose to run, but they are not allowed to choose to play disc golf. So that shows where our priorities are.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just kidding. But I feel like I definitely want to, I don't want to encourage them to run, because I know sometimes that can go, you know, for the worse, that kids can, you know, hate their parents and dread the sport just because they feel like they're forced to. But I would hope that my kids would want to run. I mean, we are
one, trying to bless them with genetics, but two, I feel like it's a sport that, I don't, just puts you in a good community. Like, I would want my kids to run, and I would inform them that I would want them to, but obviously it's their life, it's their decision. But I feel like you're just placed into a team that is so supportive and just has good morals. Like, you never see the cross-country kids out at 2 a.m. They're the most dedicated and the most just driven people I've ever met. And I just feel like it's really good to, like, also balance everything else in life. So, like, academics and running, and those often are in the sport. So I feel like that's where all the smart kids go, and I would want my kids to be smart. So
that's actually funny, because Creed and Davin said the exact same thing. They said that exact same thing. Like, the cross country kids are, like, good kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of them are pretty smart. They're like, if I do say so myself. Lexi, whether your future kids choose running or not, what values and lessons would you hope they learn from their, that you've learned from your own journey within the sport?
Yeah, that's a good question. I hope that whatever passion they choose, that they can put their full effort towards it. I feel like I've always been of the opinion that any challenge that I'm going to take upon myself, that I'm going to give my all, my 100% and more. So I think that obviously work ethic would be a big thing that I hope that they gain. But also, I think there's a lot to be said about just learning to enjoy the process and find joy in whatever stage of life or in that journey that you're in. I think that that's something that running has taught me a lot, because I haven't always been the best in the field or the best stepping up into the line or the best even going into the workout. So I think that I've just had to learn, okay, like, what is my best that I can give right now? And one, that's enough. But two, like, I can still find joy right now, regardless of how far off I am from my main goal, from my overall goal.
I think that's great advice. Find joy in every stage of your journey, no matter where you're at. I'm here with BYU cross country and track runners and sisters-in-law, Lexi Goff-Thompson and Carly Hansen-Thompson. I have loved getting to know you guys and chatting with you. Thank you so much for taking the time. You guys are amazing.
Thank you for having us.
This has been fun.
This episode of Royal Legacy was produced by Christy Solomon with senior producer Terry South. You can find Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts or on the BYU Radio app. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.